150, go back and listen to that one because we have a great conversation with them all about their music. So,
but yes. Yeah. So they are obviously musicians amongst many other things, but they've agreed to hang out with us while we talk a little bit about the news. And surprisingly, Tiffles is here.
Yay!
Hi.
She's back.
Hi.
Pure energy.
Yeah. I don't know. She brings up the energy of the room so much.
I do.
Yeah, just because we're all so desperately fighting against her. So tell us again, Ezra Root, you have a Facebook page, correct?
We do.
And then, Dave, do you have one as well, or are you guys both on that together?
I have a Facebook page as well. I have...
and the name of it is?
A nickname, and it's David Music Lover Gibson. You can find me on there on Facebook. Just got some stickers and shirts made with my new logo. Freshly
nice.
Made, so it's a pretty cool new experience for me. So
how much do they cost?
Stickers are $3, and then the shirts are $20. They look pretty cool with the different color designs that I have picked out for them. So,
And the cool thing is that if you didn't get to be in the studio with us here today, it's my kitchen. I can call it a studio if I want to. They're actually going to be playing twice this weekend. Friday, they're going to be over at M's and Cornelius from 8:30 to 11:30. And on Saturday, they're going to be at the Davidson Street Public House right there in Noda. Also from 8:30 to 11:30, that seems to be the magical Ezra and David hours.
Magical hours, right there.
So make sure you go and check them out. It's definitely a cool vibe that they have set forth. And if you want,
awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome. And if you want to hear a little bit more about them, definitely go back to episode 150 and we kind of talk about how they all met and how David and I have something in common. We accosted Ezra, so worked out well for both of us so far.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go.
He's a great day to accost.
Speaking of being accosted, it looks like somebody has a face off.
He has a face off.
I'm working on it. Segways, you know.
Wait, this is about that movie?
No. This is a television show on Syfy.
Oh, yeah. Syfy.
I binge-watched the entire 11th season of Face Off. This was Face Off All-Stars. They brought back a whole bunch of other, is a makeup artist.
All-Stars.
Reality show.
It's amazing.
It is. I actually really, really love this. And I'm going to plug my con because we do actually have two former Face Off champions next year. Not this year, but we will have RJ Hattie back, and then Roy Woolley is going to join him.
In 2018 at Con Carolinas.
RJ Woolley's the one that was like threading the mask.
Yeah.
Yes.
So are they going to be doing stuff?
They're going to be doing demos.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to do workshops and demos at Con Carolinas 2018. Cool. But I binge watched the entire season, which was actually really great. One of my favorite artists, Sig, won. And what I love about this show, unlike a lot of other reality shows, is they get along so well. If somebody's having just a really hard time opening a mold or a really hard time finishing a paint job, people will jump in and help. Even if it's, I mean, the finale, people were jumping in and helping. So it's a community, Yeah, it's, and there really just seems to be a great community. So I recommend it. You know, all of the seasons are available through Syfy, but yeah, I just really, really like this show.
Well, and I love the fact that so much of the makeup and the artistry that they build, it's not the CGI. This is practical magic that they're doing.
Yeah.
And so you're actually getting to see. I mean, there are certain things that CGI will just never be able to do. And if nothing else, if you listen to episode 149, we talk about Kurt Russell and the difference between makeup and CGI in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Just amazing stuff. So yeah.
The closest thing they came to digital effects in this season was they had a green screen. So they actually had an episode where you created an alien makeup, but you could block out parts of the model's body with the green screen. So you can actually create like a floating alien or something. So that was actually kind of cool, but I don't consider that digital effects. That's still practical.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Very cool. Maybe Effective, Timeless was canceled.
This is absolutely bizarre. They canceled it. NBC canceled it. And I was kind of bummed, kind of not, because they actually ended season one where it could come back. But I was kind of lame, so I was like, well, that's okay, I guess. It's a time travel show, if the name didn't clue you in. But anyway, but then they just came back this week and said, oh, just kidding, you guys are renewed. And I think it's because they had a clause where they could shop it around other networks. And they were doing that. And so NBC said, no, well, come back to us. We're not going to let you pop up on some other network. So,
Oh, wow.
So I was kind of... Yeah, that was kind of some bullshittery there, but anyway.
Yeah, and unfortunately that wasn't the only thing that was canceled.
No. Oh, Son of Zorn was canceled, which I don't know if anybody actually watched it besides me.
I want to say Zod from Superman, but that's not the same character.
It's basically animated superhero living in the real world.
Okay.
And he gave birth to a son that's half and half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like so it's like his son can't take his shoes off because his feet are animated.
His lower half is animated. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because he's a native, he's a half breed of Zephyria. And Jason Sudeikis, who was on SNL. Was the voice of Zorn. But it's really weird because before they announced the cancellation, I'm in freaking Walmart and there's a Funko Pop of Zorn. And I'm like, this thing's been out less than a whole season yet. This is really ambitious, I think, but they did it and it was...
You should have grabbed one. I mean, it's probably going to be collector's
item. Yeah. Crazy.
And also Powerless, but I think we covered that last week. But
it was, it was officially canceled. It was... They pulled before the last two shows, which I don't know. They say that Hulu might be able to play the last two episodes because the last one they put all their budget into it, unfortunately. And it dealt with Lex Luthor a little bit, so I don't think they actually showed him. But maybe now they shouldn't even show it. Just keep building it up as like this huge event. Like it's Michael Rosenbaum from Smallville as but we can't ever show you. We can't ever show you.
So the thing that kind of bothered me is there was this list of all the shows that they had canceled, and they're like 28 shows that have been canceled from TV that you should be really upset about. And some of them on there were not cancellations. They were series endings. Like Orphan Black, we've always known that it was ending. But they kind of allowed it to be like canceled. I was like, no, it's not canceled.
They hit doing that to Scandal. They're like, Scandal is coming to an end, but it's like after next season.
Yeah.
Like, why are you... phrasing it that way.
Yeah. I mean, Orphan Black, for people who aren't aware, was originally created in Canada, and then BBC America picked it up. There was only 5 seasons to begin with, people, so it wasn't going anywhere else. So thanks for making people all upset. Why did you cancel Orphan Black? Because it ended. It's not so good. But on the bright side, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed, so...
And I heard today they're bringing Roseanne back.
With both Beckys.
Really?
With both Beckys, yeah. Both
I Beckys didn't hear that. Yeah.
Becky with the good hair?
That's why it's not even
both
out
both Beckys are going to be on there, good. So yeah.
And did they leave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on a cliffhanger for the last season?
We're behind, so I don't know. I do know that they brought back Ghost Rider for the finale. Well, you know, the season finale.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We got some catching up to you. So.
We do. It's going to be a good summer for that. So.
No.
Yeah.
No. Please. So, speaking of old versus new American Gods, what are you thinking so far, Carol?
I'm really liking this. It's an unusual show. It's a very unusual show.
Okay.
It's not really told, I don't know how you feel, Tiffany, it's not really a linear story. You're getting kind of vignettes of different gods. Mm-hmm. Like this past episode, you had Anubis, the Egyptian god of the dead, taking somebody to the afterlife. And then her cat, which apparently was Bass, pushed her through the door. So.
I was so, like, the whole time, I was like, how sweet, the cat's following.
And that's what I thought.
And the cat's like, fuck you, get wow. out.
So you're getting these little, you know, vignettes with different gods, and you know they're all going to converge. Last week you had Mr. Nancy, which is one of the African gods, who was done by Orlando Jones in an amazing speech on a slave ship. And you know that they're all going to kind of converge, and they're all converging in Minnesota. Or Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
You just wanted to do your
Minnesota accent. Yeah, I need to talk Fargo too. So.
Okay.
But yeah, they're all going to Wisconsin now. Where
why?
The old
why does anybody go to Wisconsin?
Cheese.
Because Odin is the one doing this, and he's kind of a Slavic god, and there's lots of Norwegians and stuff in Wisconsin. So
that's what I think of. Yeah.
No, you read the books, right?
I did read the book. Yeah, there's actually two. Well, kind of a sequel.
The Anansi brothers, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and you've not read the book, Tiffany. So, somebody who's not read the book, what are you thinking?
I have mixed feelings about the show. The very first episode, I was like, I am in. This show is amazing. And I'm still incredibly intrigued by it. But there are 3 episodes in. And like in the second and third episode, there are parts where I'm like dead bored. Okay. This is too much. I think that Mr. Wednesday and Shadow are riveting together. Mm-hmm. So the end of the third episode, when you see the two of them together, like, they're great together. They have a great chemistry. I liked the gay sex because I'm a pervert. And, so of course I'm going to be about it. But even then, the build up to it, I was like, this is boring. And then the second episode, honestly, other than Orlando Jones's monologue in the beginning, I was like, this episode is not going anywhere for me.
I think, well, they had to introduce Chernusparg and the three
who
sisters.
Who is the most boring of anyone?
I do have to say, I'm kind of disappointed with Peter Stormare. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I don't know.
I thought he would be awesome, and they're not doing a whole lot with his character quite yet. So
I like the old lady, though.
Do you feel like there's still a lot of world building going on?
That's the thing. I'm like, I don't want to give up. Because there are, like, every episode has had, like, a moment where I'm like, this is amazing. And the cinematography, as I stated, the first episode is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I can tell this is going somewhere epic.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued, but I have to say the ride there isn't as fun as I thought it was going to
be. And you have to understand, they're introducing a whole lot of different gods. So in the same episode that you had Orlando Jones as this old African god, trickster god, you had Gillian Anderson as Media, who is a new god.
That's who that was.
Yes.
I was like, she looks familiar, but
yeah, Gillian Anderson as Lucille Ball. Who pops onto every television in a Walmart and talks to Shadow. But you have, like, the old gods, which are Odin and, all the Russian gods. Then you have new gods like Mr. They haven't even gotten to Mr. World yet. Who I'm really hoping, because that's Crispin Glover, and I'm just like, oh, please be crazy Crispin Glover. But
nobody knows crazy better than him.
I know. But they've introduced, you know, Mr. Technology, which is like the internet god, and then media. So you have these new gods and these old gods, and they're all going to fight.
And the leprechaun is a god.
Yeah.
An old god.
Matt Sweeney, yep.
I'm on board with you thinking he's hot. Like, yeah, I'm like, this episode, I was like, yeah, I'm about it.
He's a hot leprechaun. He's like a seven-foot-tall
leprechaun. He's got a pot of gold, I mean.
He does, but right now he's lost his lucky coin, so he is nothing but bad luck.
Yeah, for real, though.
Like, don't take a ride. But it has been renewed for a second season, so I'm curious if they're going to do the book and then just expand on the world after that, or if they've cut the book up. And we'll see, because I don't know how long they can sustain the actual book.
The book is pretty thick.
It's dense, but it's... and there's a lot of world building and a lot of character introduction.
Okay. So.
Cool. And like Tiffany said, there's nice long gay sex scene. And this show is not afraid of showing dick. So, be it on a phone or dick.
And that's on which channel again?
Stars.
Sorry, we don't get that.
So. Sexy gay leprechaun dick?
No, he's actually not gay. No. It was a djinn. One of the taxi drivers is an actual djinn. And he was gay.
What's a djinn?
Djinn, yeah. It's like a genie.
Okay, well, that's the same for people who don't know.
Oh, sorry. It's like a genie. Yeah, but he's driving a taxi cab.
With his dick?
Not with his dick. Oh. He was driving something else with his dick. Somebody else with
his dick. He was hammering that thing.
To try the stars out. Oh, all right.
Speaking of Twin Peaks.
Oh, no, we already talked about that last week.
It's 1 week closer than it was last time we talked about it. Hooray!
I'm still eager.
Counting down.
So is it International Women's Day? Because maybe we could bring the sex part into Deadpool. No? Okay, we're trying.
Well, you do know that they did announce that the Meatloaf song, I Will Do Everything But I Won't Do That, was about a strap-on.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Yes, he openly admitted that that's what it was about.
At least he said he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty good.
That only Meatloaf. Only Meatloaf would go, I'm going to write a power ballad about how no that is.
Worked out for him?
And Deadpool did get one.
Yeah, he did. Oh, so. Yeah.
In the movie, so.
Yeah.
There there's your link.
So, there's your segue.
We'll have to see about the animated series. So, Donald Glover's production company, and he's attached to it as well to do a voice, but... Yeah, Deadpool's coming to
attached
comes
with a new meaning right now.
Yeah, it could be very intimately attached. Yeah, so it should be fun. It'll be in 2018, so we're not
and
quite
it's
going to
be animated, not...
That's why I said animated, yeah.
I know you said animated, but I just wanted to repeat that, so...
Yes, it is animated. It is not live
they
action.
They kind of think the dicks could be now.
What's that?
It being animated.
Yeah.
I mean...
You can do all kind of stuff.
Be a sausage
on
party.
On FXX.
You know? Yeah. So another thing that we got to see this week was, speaking of dicks, Seth MacFarlane has a new series coming out this fall on Fox, which is the one thing that made me go, dun, 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 because Fox and sci-fi are not a good combo. Yeah. But it's called The Orville. It's kind of a Star Trek parody. So it's kind of got that Red Dwarfian feel to it, in my opinion.
So it's Galaxy Quest.
No, because Galaxy Quest, they know that they're... on TV.
Oh, so this is an actual... Okay.
They think that they
this
are.
This really looks exactly like Next Generation on Star Trek.
Yeah.
Just without the official Star Trek stuff.
Uh-huh. So the interesting thing is the actress who played Bobby on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., she actually plays Seth MacFarlane's ex-wife. So we do have some sci-fi cred on the... Yeah. On the show. So I have to admit, I watched it and I did not have as many laugh out loud moments as I was hoping for, but then we posted it on the Charlotte Geeks Facebook page and everybody, it was definitely 75% amazing and 25% going, I'll watch it to see what happens. And I kind of would say I'm in that 25%. So
that's where I am. I didn't laugh too hard, but I do like, I actually do like Seth MacFarlane when he does live action stuff. So,
sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Is that you?
Yes. I muted my phone, but I forgot to mute my iPad. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's what that was. Okay. I was like, what is that?
But it's not there. It's over there.
It's everywhere, man. It's crazy.
It's everywhere. So that pretty much wraps it up for TV for this week.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Fargo. I wanted to talk Fargo.
Okay. Well, you didn't put it on the list.
Sorry. I forgot to put it on the list, you know. So, Fargo, are you watching this? You're not through to the season yet. I have to say, this season, I'm not getting as caught up as I did the first two seasons, even though it stars Ewan McGregor. Because episode 3 didn't have any Ewan in it, and I'm like, if you have Ewan McGregor, why would you not put Ewan McGregor in it?
Maybe they couldn't afford him.
But he's playing two roles.
Maybe they couldn't afford either of them.
Budget cuts.
Sorry, you're out of this one.
It's kind of like the Doctor Who episode, where they have at least one episode where there's really no Doctor Who.
Yeah. This was an interesting episode because it had an animated sequence in it telling this sci-fi story, but it was ultimately an episode that went absolutely nowhere, and I was frustrated at that point going, okay, I just wasted an hour because this led nothing further in the investigation.
It's somebody in the production company's son did a film school project.
Film school project or something, but Ewan McGregor was back this week, and when he's on, and when David Thewlis is on, oh my god, that guy...
He's really good.
He has the ability to be incredibly attractive and totally disgusting. And he was totally disgusting in this episode. But he's got a creep factor that is really high in this show. But I'm enjoying it, but not as much as the last two seasons.
Yeah.
But we'll see where it goes.
We will. Well, shall we move over to movies? Are there any TV shows that you're dying to talk about? I'm still not watching Dancing with the Stars. I know you all are upset about that.
I watched The Expanse. I don't know if y'all got an opportunity to check that out.
It's on my list.
Pretty good things.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good series. There's some, a little bit more cheese, in some parts than others, but it's still definitely worth checking out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you watch The Siffy?
Right now, I'm watching Game of Thrones, which I know it's HBO, but I'm doing that. I was watching The Walking Dead, but like I say, Glenn died, and I was like, well. But I think I'm on like season 6 of Game of Thrones, so.
Okay.
Wow. So the last season before.
Yeah.
Jon Snow just came back alive.
Okay, so it's the last season. Yeah, so we're going to play catch up to when it comes on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. I hear that.
Soon. Well, not soon. It's about July, I think.
The sad thing is that Carol actually had George R. R. Martin right up the street a couple years ago.
Really?
And she did not poke him hard enough to write faster. So.
I tried. But that dude, all he wanted to do was drink beer. Drink and talk.
Drink and talk.
Sounds like
he would just lie. Seriously, he would just lie. When I saw him at Trinog like 6-7 years prior, I asked him, hey, so Dance with Dragons, is that almost done? And he looked me straight in the eye and said, yeah, it's almost done. And 5 years later, I finally got the book, you liar. So I think he's just going to wait
George,
until...
George, you're not on Carol's Christmas list.
I think he's just going to wait until the show's done and then release them.
That's sad. So if it succeeds the first time, let's try it in black and white. So...
Yeah.
They released a film noir version of Logan.
Oh, it's beautiful. I cannot wait to when the DVD Blu-ray comes out. I think this is going to be on there. So, unfortunately, there's not a version play of the black and white version of Logan playing in Charlotte. That's only at the Alamo Draft House chains, which there's not one around here. So.
No, there will be one in Raleigh starting next year. Starting next year.
Come on, Charlotte.
Come on, Charlotte.
Come on.
I could see how this movie would be really good in black and white, though.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, because it's
almost gritty
very gritty.
Yeah.
Mad Max looked really awesome in black and white, too. The Fury Road one.
Wow. I haven't seen either, but I will. So, all right. So, we have some casting news as well. We've got a couple things in casting to talk about. Some Mutants, some Wolfsbane, and some Pinheads. Who wants to take which first?
I'll take Pinhead first because this technically isn't a movie.
Okay.
This was a photo shoot done by a photographer. Let me grab the name real quick.
She takes it.
Any
she's not prepared. Yeah.
No, it is not. I had Suspiria pulled up rather than this. It's an award-winning photo studio, Horrify Me. Oh, nice name for a photo studio. They basically did a photo shoot with Pinhead. Now, this is not Doug Bradley, the original Pinhead. This is a different Pinhead. Mike Butler, who is a huge Hellraiser fan, took the role of Pinhead, and then, and of course, an international model took the role of Pinhead's wife. What is funny about these photos is not that they look bad. They actually look really, really good. But I find it hysterical that Pinhead's wife has to be, one, nude, even though he's not, and two, she's going to have pins everywhere. She's not a Pinhead. She's a pin body. Wow.
So that's how you want to get the lovemaking on.
So, yeah, because, I mean, seriously, it's like... Nice. It's a beautiful photo shoot, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, she's the only one who's naked.
I wonder if she's a cuddler, because I'm not thinking that's going to work. I'm
thinking that's going to work too well. But
yeah. All I know, I was horrified every time I looked at the feed this week. I'm like, no, I just always land on that picture.
It's kind of like landing on Daryl Mansell's picture every time it pokes
what?
Up.
Oh. You might want to qualify that.
His parody picture. Explain what that picture? Is.
I know what you mean, but I'm just saying.
People in podcast land, Paprikans, please don't hurt us. If you're a Paprikan, you would actually know this, but Daryl Mansell has took one of those hunky guys with cute puppies pictures and did a picture of himself with his stomach sticking out holding like a stuffed animal. And like every month, somebody has to comment on it. Just to make it pop.
Yeah,
back
this
up
picture is from 2012, and it's still popping up in my newsfeed.
Yes, it needs to stop.
So yeah, go check out. Go search Pinhead Takes a Bride if you want to look at the pictures. They're very nice, but it is kind of. I just thought it was very funny that she had to be naked and covered in pins.
That's so funny.
Henry and I were thinking about doing this, and he's going to be the new one. Yes, but we're not going to have any pins. We're just gonna be full on fucking in these pictures.
Okay.
So there really, nothing like it at all.
Look for that.
Okay, got it.
Nice plug.
That's how we get the explicit rating.
All right, that was a little bit into it. That was 27 minutes before you pulled that one out. All right, New Mutants. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so kind of weird. James McAvoy is, you know, he's the younger Professor X, but he was supposed to be a New Mutant, and now they've pulled him out of it. And so people are like, oh no, he's not going to do any X-Men movies, but apparently he's going to be in the Dark Phoenix. So they don't know if they're going to recast the role or just admit him from the New Mutants, which would be weird to me if they follow the comic book at all. This is the kind of what it alludes to. These are younger mutants on the journey. They're not the full-fledged... X-Men type of folks. So.
Is this after the X-Men or is this before?
New Mutants actually came after the X-Men comic, so yeah. It was like, it was their idea to get basically what happened, why they did this is the X-Men were getting older in the comic books.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we need to focus on kids again, so they came up with New Mutants. But it was a really good series, and some of the characters were really cool, but yeah, so this, I don't know where this is going to fall. This is going to be a movie. It is part of the X-Men universe, but I don't know where it's going to fall with all this stuff. But they finally did cast a couple roles. Anna Taylor-Joy is going to be Magic, who basically gets magic from another dimension. That's her mutant power.
Yeah.
And she's also Colossus's younger sister there. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. So. And then Wolfsbane is going to be old Macy Williams from Doctor Who.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's going to, and Game of Thrones too, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's probably where she's more known, but
yeah.
I go to Doctor Who.
I'm assuming this is taking place after she's done with Game of Thrones, which is filming its last episodes as we speak, I think.
Yeah, they're still casting, so these are the first two confirmed roles, so, but pretty high-powered ones, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the photo we were talking
about. Yes, I had to share with our members.
I'll make sure I comment on that.
Please don't. It's terrifying.
I'm trying to hide it from my feed, but it keeps on checking itself. Popping
up.
All right. You were talking about Suspiria.
Yeah. So they're remaking Suspiria,
which for people who've never seen it
is a Dario Argento horror film from the 1960s. It's one of the better horror films out there. It's actually really quite frightening and very bloody. It's Dario Argento. But They're, of course, remaking it because it's something popular and they have to remake it. The
Wasn't
original,
it mentioned in Juno, too?
I believe,
so
yeah.
Kind of like yeah. had a resurgence yeah. then.
If you're a cinema junkie, you've probably seen the film. They're remaking it, and the original soundtrack for the soundtrack for the original Suspiria was done by Goblin, and to me, it was one of the most annoying soundtracks I have ever heard. It actually hurt my enjoyment of the film. And people love it, but I'm also one of those people that thinks that the Halloween soundtrack is just annoying as fuck. So I just want to punch John.
Yeah, but
Carpenter.
It still creeps me out whenever they do it in Dragon Con halls. And
yeah, that's true. But it, to me, it's just like step away from the Casio, Mr. Carpenter, because you're just you're annoying me.
The Casio.
You know that's what it was.
Yeah. The first run.
So this new Suspiria will be, the soundtrack is being written by Tom York.
So it'll be amazing.
So it'll be amazing because we're both Radiohead fans.
That's awesome.
So I'm really kind of eager to see this and hear this now because.
So they're going to keep the movie? They're just going to.
No, they're going to remake the movie.
They're going to totally remake it. Okay.
Totally remake the movie. Hopefully change the ending a bit. yeah, I'm eager to see it and now hear it because I think Tom York is an excellent
I think
musician.
He's jealous of Johnny and...
Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
Johnny doing all those PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson
yeah.
films.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
So he's got to get into the soundtrack business now. But, yeah.
I hear that. So finally, we have the Star Wars documentary.
Yes. So they're doing a Star Wars documentary solely about women in the Star Wars fandom, which I'm really happy to see because, you know, they always say, oh, it's all guys. No, us women's like it too. It's called Looking for Leia. And, it was filmed at, shot at the recent Star Wars celebration in Orlando, Florida. So they just ask female fans why they love Star Wars, and that's what's going to drive the documentary.
I wonder if We Geek Girls will be on there. They were out there at the
celebration. And I wonder if Cher will be in it.
Yeah, I'm sure Cher will probably be in it. This is coming out summer of 2018.
Cher Lambeth, not Cher.
Not
Cher. Sunny
and
Cher.
Yeah. I believe.
Not if she can turn back time. But, yeah, so looking for Leia.
What?
Okay. Look for Looking for Leia in summer of 2018. Tone it down, Cher.
Don't look for Cher.
We actually have Cher here. Hey,
we got it all here at our studio kitchen
That's
table.
Right.
Okay.
We got curtains, y'all.
We got curtains. All right. So, Matt, you are just the downer of the week with your news here.
What?
Damn. Why did we save this for last?
Oh, we was on the podcast with who died. So. This is awesome. No.
It's awesome that people died.
So I have to admit, so like when you're putting this podcast together, what happens is, and I think Carol, you mentioned it before too, it's like, so what happens is we have this Facebook private group where we put links and stuff in there and it makes its way a week
and
later.
And then we forget what we put on
Sometimes
there.
Sometimes you forget
look
to,
at the sheet.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap,
so,
I didn't read that. I didn't look at that.
So I didn't actually read what the near-death experience of Tom King was, the writer of the new 12-issue Mr. Miracle series. He's a new god. Created by Jack Kirby. And he's basically like Houdini, like this escape guy. But anyway, so the title was Batman Writer Channels Near-Death Experience with Mr. Miracle. He thought he was having a heart attack, but I just read it was really a panic attack. So I want you to actually be dying if you're going to write a near-death. If that's your title, anyway, but he's alive. He's alive. He's a good writer. He's been doing a great run on Batman. And
I just have like this vision of Matt going, you think that's a near-death experience? I'll show you a near-death experience.
Don't do that again.
Now write me a comic book.
Yeah. And then this next one really is sad, but James Dale Kavanaugh in Kansas City, Missouri, he was being robbed at his comic book store, Clint Comics, and he's been there like 18 years. He bought it and stuff. And he actually had a gun and he was chasing the guy out, and the getaway car, the door hit him as he was running out and killed him. So
oh my god.
Oh man.
So it was like, I mean, comic book store is like, you're not making a lot of money, folks, and it's like,
It's a labor of love. It's a community.
It is, and it's like, I just don't get actually robbing one of those places. I mean, I don't know. I think of the comic book owners I know, like Troy over Rebel Base and Shelton over Heroes.
Not to make light of the subject, were they robbing money or certain issues?
Yeah,
certain
were they going after classics? Or were they going
after comic number one, man?
They didn't
the
say
first
that,
issue.
Yeah.
I know you have
the rapper.
I know you have it.
So, yeah. Crazy.
Well, you know, rather than ending on a downer, let's talk about some fun stuff you can do in the area. I have some stuff to talk about.
Good.
So, we have a whole plethora of activities happening this week on the community calendar. And please note that hopefully soon we will actually be breaking out this a little bit separate for you so that nothing like refreshing the page so that it actually goes to another page.
Ezra and David have events this weekend. I know they're not in the community calendar.
I did
at the
mention
moment.
Those at the top of the hour. I'd be happy to mention them again. Would you like me to do that?
I was, since you were looking at us up something up right in that era. I thought we could talk about that.
So once again, you can listen to Ezra and David if you get tired of the 1 minute clip that we have and you want to hear the whole song. You can go check them out at M's at Cornelius. They're going to be there from 8:30 to 11:30, and by the time this podcast is airs, I'm sure they're going to have added it to the community calendar, as well as the Davidson Street Public House in Noda on Saturday from 8:30 to 11:30. 8:30 is the magic time, and they are an awesome group, so you definitely need to go out and listen to them. If this is Thursday and you're listening to this, you definitely want to check out some trivia we've got going on in town. Merely Players is over at the Rusty Onion starting at 7 o'clock, and of course the Charlotte Geeks, as always, try to dominate trivia night over at Fabo's. That starts at 8 o'clock. They suggest you get there at like 7:45. We tend to win in overall points. Also on Friday, you could check out Partial Nerdity. The fellows from
Purgatory
are back with a pirate party. It's going to be over at Dilworth Neighborhood Grill in the underground floor, so go online, check that out.
That is an adults-only party.
Yes, and there are boobs and beer. So there's also a Rocky Horror Picture Show with that type cast going over at Concord Mills. It is not a midnight showing. It is at 10:30, but that's 10:30 on Friday night, so go check that out. On Saturday, Bumps and Books has their Goosebumps Book Club from 7 to 10, and they're going to be discussing Carmilla. On Sunday, May 21st, from 6 to 10, up in Greensboro, Legends Nightclub.
up in Raleigh, Legends Nightclub.
Yeah, there's a Spoonful of Sugar. It's a Southern Gothic-inspired showcase, and it's really kind of cool. There's art and all sorts of stuff going on with that.
There's a silent auction, there's fire breathers, there's burlesque, there's a whole bunch of different variety acts.
Yeah, so definitely go check that out. It's going to be four hours. Carol the cat will be there. You'll recognize her from her purple hair. And are you the only one with purple hair at that group?
I'm trying to think.
I think there are others. Just go up to random purple-haired people and say, are you the purple-haired pixie? We've heard rumors. And then on Monday, very important thing going on with Chickspear. They're reading Dear Harvey. There's actually groups all across Charlotte reading Dear Harvey, which is a tribute reading to Harvey Milk and some of the activism that he did. They're going to be reading over at Noda Brewing Company at 7:30 p.m. and Ann Lambert and Andrea King and some of the people who've been on our podcast are going to be there. Also, there's another chance for trivia. If your life isn't trivial enough, you can go over to Sir Edmund Haley's restaurant at 7 with Merely Players. And then this coming Thursday, just so you plan ahead, on the 25th, you can go check out Sugar Creek Brewing Company has Bay Day. It's not May Day, it's Bay Day, and that's with the Charlotte Jam Group. So it's Dance Deity and Booty Muse, dudes. And then Merely Players Trivia from 7 to 9 again, and the Riot Kittens and Nerdvana. This is at the Legends Nightclub Complex in
Raleigh.
From 7:59 to 10:59 p.m., they're going to be producing an amazing anime burlesque and variety show.
Yeah.
And on Friday, monthly board game night at Mugs. So make sure to check that out. Of course, we've got other things coming up soon as well. Make sure you log on to find out about those. Con Carolina's Book Club, Queen City Cinephiles, and Mega Moose Con, among other things. So make sure you go and check those out. That's at charlottegeeks.com/calendar. If you have an event that you'd like to hear read out loud by me, make sure you go and post that on there, and we'll be sure to share that with you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Oh,
so
now I need to find my outro. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, I don't have them to play us out. So without further ado, make sure you check out Ezra Root on Facebook, as well as David Gibson as David
Music Lover Gibson.
Music Lover Gibson. And check them out.
Oh, see, now what you did.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys, for being here.
I just deleted it.
You deleted it? Oh, my God.
All right, we got you.
Oh, thank you for listening to Gardens of the Galaxy.
This is good when there are musicians in the park. I'm in the park. To the rescue. He's putting on his drum.
You guys are better.